Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? Okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Make yourselves comfortable. Settle in. Don't do anything. Feel your body, maybe for the first time today. I guess feel that level of experience that's slightly under the radar. So, and because we're in the shrine and we don't care about what was happening outside the shrine, we're just together. To taste our experience moment by moment and taste our raw experience under the threshold of thinking. Feel your bodies. Feel our bodies. But you have a special responsibility with your body. Somehow. And your heart, feel your heart. Before sticking a label on your heart's forehead, let your heart talk to you. Not with words. Just feel tactile. Breath, heart, throat. Feel your head and feel your thinking. Feel it rather than listening to the thoughts. Feel the pressure in the head, the pressure of thinking, 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 thinking. Right now, together, let's just feel that relentless pressure of thinkingness. Feel your forehead and your temples and inside your skull, the pressure. No judging and no attempts to change anything. We're making a circle, all of us, and we're listening to all these very real feelings. Feel your eyes. Your whole head. Hello. In this moment, head, you're not a head, you're just an innocent pulsation. Very alive, very intense. And now let's go visit, I don't know, what shall we go visit? Belly. Just go listen, go circle around our bellies. Feel our bellies, your belly. Remember that you're not sticking a label, you're not pushing down on your belly like an intrusive mother. You're just sitting quietly by your belly, listening ever so delicately. Hello, belly. Hello, breath. Breath in the belly. And feel how you're called somewhere else and just go with a call. Maybe come with me, because I'm sure we're called more or less in the same places, because we all have similar bodies and we all impose similar things on our bodies. Let's go visit mouth. Hello, mouth. Lips. Teeth, gum, inside the mouth, tongue, tension, cheeks. No visual, no idea or concept, just a raw experience of you, my mouth. Taste, my mouth. Saliva, tongue, taste, lips. Hello. Feel more and more as we listen with our tactile listening that there's space for this liveliness, this intensity that is the body. The body can be as wild, as quiet, as tight, as tingly, as sensual, as whatever bodies like to be like. Your body, give it permission. Feel your breath through your nostrils. Cool. Inhale, warm. Myrrh. Exhale, right? Discover that fresh. Nostrils. Current. Fresh. Feel the tension of the body as it's given permission to surface. Your shoulders, your jaw, your hands. What are you holding in your hands? Feel the tension anywhere that is tense in your belly, maybe in your heart. But then remove the label, you know, throw it away. Listen. Hello, wild one. I'm sorry, wild one. I'm always imposing on you. When I say I'm always imposing, I'm not sure who I mean by that, but that one, that separate one that has agendas. And in fact, that one is also attention. So in the end, the one who should be sorry is, dare I say, presence itself that somehow conditioned itself to contract a bit too long, a bit too narrowly. I'm sorry. Is basically something you say to yourself. I am sorry. I want to stay open. I want to stay fresh. A bit more. I won't do it perfectly. Feel the weight of your body. Where your body sits on the earth and feel that the earth is taking the weight. That's what the earth is for, amongst other things. Give her your body, your hips, your pelvis, your legs, your feet. More, 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 more. Give her your arms, your shoulders. Give her your upper arms, your elbows, your lower arms, your wrists, your hands, your fingers. Give her whatever wants to be given. Not everything wants to be given. Some things want to go down with gravity, you know, your face, maybe your eyelids, your jaw, your cheeks. Stuff that need not be held. Begin to feel that you don't live behind a kind of fixed edifice. You live as something alive, ever changing. And some of this aliveness flows down, surrenders down naturally. Yes, your hips, your pelvis, your thighs. Yes, your arms. And then so other currents of sensation don't move down. They might rise even. Maybe see if you're, if your spine, top of your head, your back, the back of your neck. But these are just words, boring old names, but more feel the energy of what they're pointing towards. Arising right at the center, and then flowing down, right and left. Yeah, and then maybe if you feel like it, if it feels right, you could push the top of the head a little bit more towards the ceiling. Very gradual. Make sure the breath doesn't get interrupted. No reason for that. And feel that your spine isn't contracting. Quite the opposite. Feel that as you very, very gently push the top of the head to the ceiling, each vertebrae is sent the message, you can float. One on top of the other. And the head is getting the message, oh, you can float, I can float. Like a helium balloon. And the sits bones are getting the message, oh, I can root down. And this, your sexual area, getting the message, I can feel her under me, and she can permeate me. Feel your whole body. And feel the space that your body is floating in, resting on. It's friendly. The earth is friendly. The space all around is friendly, not just friendly, an extension. Gently let the body move, very, very gently. Whatever way, no right or wrong. Small, like a little sway. The spine. Perhaps start with just the spine. Feeling the stability of the base of your pelvis. And then you just let your spine be moved like some kind of very fluid plant. And the spine includes the head. Your base is rooted into the earth. Your torso is very alive, very sensual. And then very gently, let your torso come back to a stillness, to a to an alignment, stillness. Yes. Now slowly feel your forearms floating off your lap, and then your shoulders are floating up towards your ears, very slow. Hovering the shoulders up towards the ears, drop your legs into the earth. Drop your hips. Drop your fingers. And now slowly feed the shoulders back down into the earth, into the space. Be the space. And then let your hands, your arms melt down, 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 down. And again, the torso moving. Free. Moving. Unpredictable. Make sure the head, the neck, and all the articulations of the spine rising out of your pelvis. Maybe now the arms are floating away from the torso. The breath. The hands. Feel the not knowing, but knowing, not knowing, knowing. And again, let the body come back to you. You are the openness, the space. Let the body come back to you. Trust the body to come back. The head, the torso, the legs, the hands. I wish there were more poetic words. Feel your face. So much sensation in your face. Just feel it, listen. You're the space all around it. Your ears. Can you relax your ears? Let the breath flow in through the ears. Caressing the ears, saying, relax. Now very slowly, the torso turning towards the left. Where do your hands rest? How? Don't do anything. Surrender the posture to the space all around, which is a tactile space. Let your posture, the body posture, radiate as far as it wants. Porous borders. borderlessness. Surrender the body. Now torso, ghost-like, turning towards the right, slowly. Don't do it if possible. Feel it's happening, ripple. Very intense, effortless ripple in openness. Very alive, armpits, hands resting, touch. Clothes, skin, air, mouth, and feel the whole body, one amorphous mass of energy. You let it go into the space all around because you're not attached to it staying cohesive. You let it go. Body, you can go. I don't live in you. I mean, I don't live in you when you're fixed and bordered. Let it go. Just breathe. Let it go. The shoulder, the left, the right hip, top of the head. Welcome the resistance, and you just place the resistance in the openness. You don't have to micromanage your resistance. Now the torso comes back to the center. I don't have to do it. It's so easy. And then pause, perfect stillness. Surrender the body, surrender those inner layers of feeling in your belly, in your heart, in your sexual area, in your throat, in your jaw, all those forgotten corners of your body that hold so much life. Your lower back. And again, the movement. Feel it's originating from the root of the body, and then the arms. And then the neck, and then the head. You're placing the body in a substance that moves. And then you just follow the movement. And you can follow from inside, from outside. You can be the movement. You can be the stillness around the move. It doesn't matter. Just see what happens. Listen for emotions here, for frustration, for thinkingness, for agitation, fear, longing, excitement, whatever emotional color, listen for it in the body and let it be the impetus for the movement now. make sure the breath is allowed and trust the body. And don't trust any agendas for what it should look like. Make sure the breath is an ally, the breath she knows how to marry the sensation. If the body wants to stand, the body stands. The feet may need to connect with the earth. And now the music will come and you just see what happens. If the music, the breath, the sensation would like to come together. Remember that we're in the shrine and we are sharing presence. We're sharing our bodies somehow, our tactility, our expression. Don't be shy, don't feel any inhibition, let it be between us. An offering for a shared altar. I would encourage you now to feel like a body, not just like the space. Feel like the body that you also are, and let her, him express something that is instinctual, intelligent, raw. Shape-shifting. Make sure the head is invited to move so that the headquarters can be elsewhere, not just in the head, it can be in the palms of the hands and the palms of the bed, the palms of your sex. Shy or lazy to stand up. Those legs, those problems. Join in. If there's resistance, push through it, kick through it. Come down to that. shaking and pushing and liberating my body. So honor that if that's what's happening. Areas of the body that are not allowed. What's the point, and what's this got to do with non-duality? And nothing. Go sit on the sofa, get a book. Feel your hands are allowed to touch your body, the space, and it's allowed to be a real touch. Her.
a taste. And if the headaches will go away, what's happening? Why? What is this? And it just, it's just simple. It's a little journey with the body. With movement, simple, moment, movement, intelligent, shaping, hands, touch, breath, air, earth, texture, simple. Those movements that feel unfamiliar, go there, go there. It's muscular, it's substantial, and sometimes it's very big. Now start to very gently allow for some gesture, posture, movement that is a gathering back towards stillness. See what that would be, what that is. Take your time. Listen to your hands, see if there is a closing gesture, a final movement, posture for the altar. Just simply feeling the body again. Hopefully, a little bit more. A little bit freer, a little bit more connected to the texture of the ground and space and the sound of this voice.
Feel your breath. Often in meditation, we want to acquire a feeling of transparency, a feeling of spaciousness and transparency. But sometimes I feel that's a little bit of a It's a little bit dangerous because we may be avoiding turning our backs on the very intense, raw experience that is our bodies, not just our physical body, but when I say body, I mean the whole realm of feelings and energy and textures and colors and tastes and the whole display that we call life. We like to think it, and in meditation we often would prefer to transcend it. Not always, but transcend it or make it a bit more palatable. So I guess the invitation today was to just really be with the direct raw beauty of this body, this so-called body. And to trust that every moment, whatever you experience as your body is not your creation as a separate self. It is a divine creation. It is a cosmic happening. Every moment, every little micro sensation, every emotion, every texture, every moment. It's taken care of. It's part of the whole. Your body right this moment is intimately connected to all bodies, including things that are not animate bodies, like rocks and water and air. So just feeling the coming and the going of the breath. And then the knowledge that you, the separate one, if she or he is still somehow there, you're not manufacturing the breath, you're not the breather, you never were. So whatever is breathing, it's not a body that is breathing. Just feel that. Don't think it. Don't try to reason with it. Just feel. It's really breath that is breathing. And breath is another name for God. And it's really the body that is moving, but body is another name for God. And it's Ellen that's speaking, but Ellen is another name for God. Etc., etc. So let God do the breathing. You're just open to every in-breath and every out-breath. You don't have to push the breath out. You don't have to pull the breath in. What you can do is to taste the intensity of every moment of breath. Taste the place at the bottom of the exhale. Taste the layers, very alive, very vulnerable, very, very, very. Lots of labels if we were to label, but we don't need to. Just tasting. As you purify the breath of the separate breather, then there's just tasting, listening. and feel that you include more and more in your tasting and listening, not just the breath, the totality of your experience. Effortlessly tasted moment by moment. And then you may even allow yourself the luxury of relaxing into the listening itself. Not so interested in experience for a while, just abiding somehow as this presence. Thank you. Take your time opening your eyes. I'm pulling my table closer. Thank you very much for following me, because sometimes I'm not sure what I'm doing. But I'm doing it anyway. And you're coming with me, and that's very, very sweet. Thank you. It's fun not to be sure what you're doing in this day and age, and to do it anyway. And that I should take it back. I do know what I'm doing, okay? So come back. I do know what I'm doing. All right. But I don't know what I'm doing. But I do. But I don't. Do you guys know what you're doing? No. Now I'm going all fuzzy. Okay, well, if anybody would like to share, speak, ask. I'm just going to rub my camera, but fuzzy. Please feel free to Karen, unmute yourself. Where are you, Karen?
Yep,
There you are.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
So, although I think you can come to the truth on different paths, it does seem that the yoga meditation helps the body come to a more full experience of reality in a different way, and than say sitting meditation or something else. Or my first question is, though, if something traumatic is happening in your life and you're not terribly familiar with yoga meditation, is it possibly not a good thing to do when you're going through the trauma? And maybe wait until you're in a safer place because it unleashes feelings and therefore may stimulate the mind if you're not familiar with the tool of yoga meditation. Might it not be good to do while you're maybe going through a trauma right at that time?
Is that the case for you, Karen? Are you afraid of opening more at the moment because something difficult's happening?
Well, I've been doing yoga meditation for about 2 years, as opposed to sitting meditation, which even Francis approved of, which is unusual. I've been doing that for a long time. But I happen to be in a retreat this weekend with you, and I happen to lose my cat.
Oh.
And I think it. Anyway, I think if I had just done my sitting meditation, I would have been okay in a sense, not having to face or, and I don't, I
Well,
do question whether we have to face it in this way, but I'm just saying, doing the yoga meditation, it was difficult. It made me sensitive.
yes, I think it's a really good question, because I think we all have different preferences, and it's not an obligation to do. Well, it's not an obligation to do the yoga meditation or to do this that we do here, which is yoga meditation plus, because I think I take us maybe a bit more into feelings, into expression. And it some of us, it's not necessarily our path or our preference, and that's absolutely fine. But I definitely don't think there's a danger in doing these yoga meditations in the presence of a trauma. Because it's contained, and I mean, perhaps the movement when I'm encouraging today, I was maybe a little bit more forceful and encouraging feelings and things like that. And if you're very vulnerable and there's very intense feelings, it might be a good idea if you don't feel completely safe to sit it out. But the kind of more contained explorations of just tasting the body as it is, I would say that not only is it not dangerous to do that in the presence of trauma, it's a especially losing your cat, or which is it's a very sad event, but it's not the kind of trauma where you were abused, and to return to that place would possibly re-trigger a trauma that would induce a dissociation or something like that. In this case, it's just a very sad feeling, right? And if the feeling is here, there's no reason to turn away from it. Your cat died. He's your soul animal, or she. It's
Well,
sad.
this is my other cat just came in as we're talking about
Yeah.
this. But
but in a way, when we lose a loved one, we want to feel it, you know?
My other question is sort of related, is this. I notice that if I'm doing something and then a sudden emotion comes over me, if it's connected to thoughts, I can usually trace the thought. I can say, oh, this is why I'm feeling this way now,
yes,
because I have
yes,
these
yes.
of thoughts. And then it really dissipates. I'm wondering with the body, because there have been times I'm just going to put a dish away or do something, and I just get drawn to this in the past few days, this sad feeling.
But of
and
course
I can't
you do.
Mentally connect it. And I'm wondering.
Well, wait a minute. Your cat just died. First
but
of all.
It's not related to me putting the dish away.
No. But it's related to the body is not like that. The feeling,
right.
The realm of feeling is not rational.
Okay.
It's not rational. And if there's an opportunity, oh, she's putting the dishes away. Perfect wave of feeling. Why?
Yeah.
Who knows why? Because your mind, maybe you were less busy monitoring your feelings. You know what I mean? Like, trust, feelings need, well, I don't know what feelings need, but they are here and they are natural and they are everywhere and they are what life is. Life is a constant flow of feelings, isn't it? I mean, we are feeling full beings. Not just, I mean, it doesn't mean that we're just going lurching from one big emotion to the other. There are moments of peace and moments of kind of, you know, the waters are peaceful, but then the waters are not peaceful. And so there must be an intelligence there. There's no danger, Karen.
But
especially you,
possible,
because you don't strike me as somebody who gets lost in their feelings. I think quite the opposite.
No, right. I am.
Yeah.
But it is sort of, there may come times you have movements in the body, but because you're doing the yoga meditation, it may release things that you cannot mentally connect.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, it's not necessary to mentally connect.
Right.
Unless it imposes itself. And, you know, maybe you have a big wave of sadness and then the thought about your cat or about, then it connects naturally, you know, or there's a memory of a past trauma and it's a big wave of feeling and the memory and it's natural.
Right.
But sometimes I know for myself, because I'm quite an emotional creature, I start crying and I have no idea why I'm crying.
Yeah.
But so I just let it,
okay.
You know, or if I'm dancing, sometimes waves of something like anger, but I don't have a particular object for that anger, but I'm enjoying the feeling and I'm going to dance it, you know, and why? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe in your case, because you're more used to being rational and all this, trust it, explore that realm. It's very good that you're doing that.
Yeah. I mean, as I said this weekend, I'm drawn of all the types of meditation, inquiry, sitting, and yoga. The yoga is what I want to do the most right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm glad you're offering it, because I can, you know, that way be in a sangha to do it with, you know?
Yeah. Thank
so
you,
thanks.
Karen. Go for it, Len.
It's nice to be with you again.
The
experience I had ties in a different way to what you were saying about dancing and feeling things. For many decades, I've been involved in a practice which basically just says, meet whatever arises, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, through the senses. So what happened today, we are living in a sort of a construction zone of our house. We have scaffolding to the roof, and we have walls of plastic sheeting with zip-through doors to get from one room to the other, and it's been that way. And during this session, mixed in with the music, there was drilling and there was hammering. And it was, there were times when I felt like I was moving to the sound, the beautiful, mournful sound of the flute. And then it was off on the rhythm of the drilling. And then it was back to the flute. And then there would be hammering, which kind of had its own rhythm. And it was just, it was just such a rich experience to be open to sounds of whatever type and to allow them some movement, kind of like what you were saying about anger, you know, that you sometimes feel it and then you're moving to it. And this was just like moving to sound that was whatever it was.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for.
And it sounds so, it's easy to describe that, but it can be a very profound experience, that very profound, very lovely and very, you know, like just not higher. Okay, music is, I'm moving to music, not to drill. No. Yeah. Moving, drill, music, it's all kind of this unfolding and
opening. It's opening. Yes, it's being open. It's allowing in whatever's there. And it says you had us in the, as we were moving and dancing, and then it had the possibility of expression in that mode. So
yes.
Thank you. It was different.
Yes. Different. Thank you, Len. Well, good luck with all the work.
Yeah.
Take care. Nice to see you.
Same.
Keith.
Hi. I had an experience today of going into my feelings. Somehow a lot of deep tiredness came up. And so when you were encouraging, or sort of you were talking us into moving, especially later on, I found it, the contact I was having with my feeling was leading me to just, oh, you're not fuzzy anymore, was leading me to just sort of collapse. So I spent quite a while on my low bed behind me, just in a funny sort of position, as if I was like I'd been shot while I was standing up and then had fallen to the ground, like I was dead. And I kind of, something in me said, was saying, I'm supposed to be moving, but I'm also supposed to be staying in my feeling. So as I stay with my feeling, that was just not letting me move.
You're so cute. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, okay, I guess so.
I mean, you know, I'm giving instructions, really following my own experience, and you're perfectly, it's exactly right to listen to your experience, and that's what was happening. Tiredness and collapse and not moving, which is itself a movement, you know. I mean, it's not moving, but it's a kind of movement. It's a movement that's not moving.
Well, it certainly felt like an unintentional performance art.
Yeah.
There was a part of me is thinking, God, what's going on? I'm in this weird position on my bed, not moving, for about several minutes.
But maybe you'll feel better, you'll feel less tired, you know, later on. Who knows? There's such an intelligence of the body that if we, just a little bit of allowing of the body can go a long way. Not that that's the point here, but I think the point today is really, yeah, just to give the body space to do whatever it wants to do, which is perfect. That's what you did.
Okay. So it's okay.
It's okay.
Move at all.
Absolutely. To fall asleep, even.
Okay.
Especially
that's interesting because I suppose it's bringing up judgment stuff, like, am I doing it right? Yeah. Okay.
That, well, that's irrelevant to here because there's no right or wrong. So, but it's a gift when, you know, the judgments, they come up and then you get to see that habit of judging.
Yeah.
It's so profound and so layered, that habit of thinking and judging, and
yeah,
and it's that too is has its place, and I guess it's intelligence. But here we're trying to come back to a more innocent, just feeling, just moving, just tactility for no reason, and the mind will doesn't.
Well, actually, this is something that deeply confuses me because I'm hearing what you're saying. And a part of me doesn't even know whether to really follow what you're saying at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so in this case, in this case, there's a tacit agreement that we are using our words and our thinking to communicate because we're no longer in the space of, you know, the meditation. So, but you're free not to listen to my words and not, and just stay with your raw experience. But then I'll probably stop talking after a bit.
yeah
don't make it too complicated. I mean, don't overthink it if you are.
Well, it's actually more about an experience that it's to do with when you say don't do it as well, because I mean, I take it as a sort of a hypnosis in a way, if you know what I mean. I try not to sort of interpret and think and just see what happens in response to your sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of your sounds indicate moving my arm, and then you'll say, don't do it. And then something just gets stuck.
It's so funny. I get it. But sometimes does it work? Are there moments where it all kind of works?
Well, it seems like there's no meaning to it working or not working.
Yeah, you're right, actually. But actually, there is a meaning sometimes in the yoga. If we're doing a movement and I say, don't do it, the point is, the intention, the humble intention on my part is to try to purify the movement of the feeling of I'm doing it. So, you know, turning the torso to the right, don't do it. Meaning the feeling I'm trying to evoke is a feeling of effortlessness. So I'm not trying to kind of make your wires go like, oh. So in this, you know, I'm hoping that it sometimes works and that it's not always a kind of weird hypnosis. I don't know, you know.
Well, in a way, I regard all teachings as hypnosis because I don't really believe there's any reality. It's just a conjuring of stuff. But and I'm also kind of pretty aware that I'm not doing anything anyway. A part of me is kind of aware of that.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Don't worry. I don't know what we're talking about anymore, Keith, but I'm really enjoying your... Okay. I enjoy you. And I think we should just do this with our conversation.
Okay. I mean, the main thing is I just keep coming here because I seem to like something.
Yeah.
Well, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lovely to see you.
Thank you.
I may be very confusing sometimes, so I apologize. So, Holly.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. First of all, I just wanted to say, Karen, I'm so sorry about your cat, and I wish you all the best on your healing journey.
Thank you.
This is, quite a big question for maybe a short space of time, so if we don't have time to talk about it, no worries. But I was just wondering, Ellen, if you might be able to share any of your experiences of working with, well, having physical pain come into the space. I've just noticed my session this time was a little bit different because I have an ear infection. And when you were suggesting different parts of the body and bringing those up, I didn't feel it was very appropriate to move to different parts because I kept fixating on this area just because that was, for me, it kind of felt like an invitation to come into the body and notice that if you're experiencing pain in some area, then you'll kind of naturally want to distance yourself. And maybe there's a little bit of fear there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a musician, I'm terrified of losing my hearing. Mm-hmm. I have a job interview tomorrow, ironically music related. So I don't know, do you ever find yourself when you sit and do a yoga meditation just finding it much more appropriate to stay in one place?
Of course. I mean, I think ultimately the most appropriate thing in terms of the yoga meditation, which in essence is interested in exploring our true nature, right? So ultimately we would like to, we want to bring our attention back to presence, but because it's a yoga meditation where we're doing different things. We're first of all welcoming the body and giving it space. And so that's what we were doing, bringing attention to different areas of the body to just liberate them a little bit and listen to them. But the end, you could say the real aim is to then return all these different experiences of the head and the this and the that to the totality of your experience in the moment. And that you yourself would recognize yourself as that space in which that which perceives the totality. So it doesn't really matter at the moment where we're exploring the content of experience. What we're doing is just touching experience to remind it and us that experience is alive. And
so it's almost like a window, or like a prompt to bring you back, no matter what the kind of nature of the session. I don't know. I noticed that this session was particularly restless, but yeah, weirdly, I found that useful in its own way.
Anything that comes up is going to be useful in the sense that, especially if it's a resistance or a restlessness, usually that would be pushed down or it would be identified with. And here, because we're creating a kind of open space, the resistance or the restlessness or the pain is being welcomed a little bit more, hopefully, a little bit more in that openness. But in the end, the goal is not to shift, to change our experience. It's to really taste the openness that we are. So the restlessness and the pain would be experiences that would call us to identify with them. You know, yeah. I'm in pain. I feel restless. I am restless. No, restlessness is arising in pure relaxation. And even pain, which I know can be intense, is arising in that which is free of pain. So that would be the direction of the exploration. But I know that when there's strong pain, it's very difficult to move away from it. When we're exploring our body and there's this big area, an area that's very painful, it's very magnetic and very... And
it is. That's how I would describe it. This session was magnetic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wavy.
Yeah. More to say, but maybe for another time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Holly.
I'll mute myself again.
Thank you. Corinne?
Hello.
Hello.
it's so good to see you, everyone. I just had a little thought earlier today that I would invite myself as a little girl to just be with me around today, like just hang out with me. And she could just make herself known. And I would just like invite her to just be, like hang out. And when we were dancing, she was just so there. And we were, it wasn't like her taking me over. It was us together. And it was so lovely. And I just, and then I thought, there is that, and felt it too. More beautiful and wonderful, who knows us each, me and her and us, and discovers us at the same time, more deeply and interestingly and intimately than we can even imagine. Like, I know her, but I still discover her. That one, God or whatever, knows us in the same way. And I just love that thought. So I just thought I would say it. And this is David White, prayer for an invitation. I pray for you, world, to come and find me, to see me and recognize me and beckon me out, to call me even when I lose the ability to call on you who have searched so long for me. I pray to understand the stranger inside me who will emerge in the end to take your gift. I pray for the world to find me in its own wise way. I pray to be wanted and needed by those I have learned to love and those I must learn to love. I pray to be wanted and needed by those I cannot recognize in my self-imposed aloneness. And I pray to be wanted and needed by those I wish to be wanted by. And to that I say, Corrine says, myself. Like that, and I pray to be wanted and needed by those I wish to be wanted by. But I acknowledge the power of your beautiful disguise, and I ask for the patient heart of all things to understand the abiding fear I feel in following your hidden and beckoning way. In my fear of receiving, in taking your hand to follow its hidden, difficult and forever beckoning way.
I love how David White kind of goes on a walk, and you know, and then he kind of really.
And Ellen, it's what you were saying about being known. Well, it's not exactly what you said, probably, but I felt it this way: being known and loved and seen, not that those words, but by all of it, not just the people who love us and know us and see us, not just the people, but all of the world, known by the world, received by the world. Except, not even accepted, not even that, but sorry, just, I should have ended with David White. But anyway.
Corinne, we understand exactly what you mean. We do, or I do, but I'm sure we do. Yeah.
Can I just, like, one slight little funny poem by Richard Brautigan? Who's, okay. It's called Your Catfish Friend. If I were to live my life in catfish forms, in scaffolds of skin and whiskers at the bottom of a pond, and you were to come by one evening when the moon was shining down into my dark home and stand there at the edge of my affection and think, it's beautiful here by this pond. I wish somebody loved me. I'd love you and be your catfish friend and drive such lonely thoughts from your mind. And suddenly you would be at peace and ask yourself, I wonder if there are any catfish in this pond. It seems like a perfect place for them.
That's so sweet. Thank you, catfish Coco. And thank you, all of you catfish. And yeah, You know, I'm going to be very candid. I feel today's meditation was a little bit strange, and I'm so happy, and I'm so happy that I can feel that and say it with you, say it to you. And I don't know. I just want to say that thank you for staying with me. And sometimes what comes out of my mouth is a little bit like, what are you talking about, Ellen? All right. Is that you, Vivian? Yes, it is. Hi.
Hi. Just wanted to say that Rupa always tell us that we are a bunch of weird, not weird, eccentric. So I'm used to that. I love what comes from no mind. So I found it lovely today. Thank you.
Okay. I don't need you to reassure me, but thank you very much, Ilka. And anyway, everybody, and it's nice to see Annie, who doesn't come so often. Hi, Annie. And Abby, well done. and everyone. See you maybe another time. Hi, Virginia, too. Nice to see you. Bye, Sophia. Bye, Christiane. Bye, Holly. Bye, Kathleen. And Nadia. Bye-bye. Bye, Karen. Bye, Dawn.
This is perfect, soon. Spacious, everything. And thanks, Corinne, too.
Oh, and there's Stefan just popped his head up. Hi, Stefan.
Thanks, Ellen.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye, Kathleen.
Bye, Ellen.
Bye, Kanan. Bye.
Oh, my God, I got shot.
Bye, Ellen. Thank you so much.
With pleasure. Nice to see you, Vivian.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Rianne. Oh, hi, Rianne. Bye, Rianne. Bye, Sean.
Bye, everyone. Mm-hmm.